Hi, my name is McKeely Shannon. I'm currently an intern at BridgerCare working on the Community Action League to better spread awareness about organizations here in the Valley. Today, I'm going to be talking to people at our local food bank and then also our local warming center that are organizations that are part of HRDC. And we're going to be hearing about personal stories from volunteers and people who work at HRDC about what they've experienced in our community. Hi, this is McKeely with BridgerCare for the Community Action League, and I'm here with Christian and Robin from HRDC. Christian, what do you do at HRDC?
I am the Marketing and Development Director at HRDC, so I support all of our programs in telling their story, gaining customers, gaining community support through volunteering, and also securing donations so that they can sustain their programs.
Wow, so that's a lot of...
It's a lot, but yeah. It's all fun. It's all great.
That's good. So what kind of services do you provide here at HRDC?
HRDC is a community action agency, so all the programs and services that we offer, and there's about 47 different programs or opportunities that we offer members of the community, they all reflect the needs of the community. So what's been going on, what are barriers to a good quality of life and to self-sufficiency, that's how our programs are created. We have 7 service areas, food and nutrition, affordable housing, early childhood care and education, energy assistance, youth development, community development, and senior programs and transportation. So we have a lot of different service areas, and within them you can find 47 different programs that we offer.
Oh my gosh, that is a lot.
It is a lot, it is. And we've grown quite a bit over the last few years. This community continues to grow, and we're just trying to keep up.
Yeah, and I guess that the needs of the population must be growing with the rise in population.
Yeah, we see more customers coming through our doors every year, and we definitely feel it in areas such as our warming center, which sees about a 10% increase every year. And this past season, we noticed that people were needing to stay longer than they have before, because it's quite a stretch between losing an apartment and finding another one. We see more seniors accessing our services as it's getting harder to live in our community on a fixed income and a retirement plan that they maybe planned 10, 20 years ago when the community looked different.
Yeah.
Our food bank is busier than ever and continues to grow in operations. The ride requests for our Galavan senior door-to-door transportation go up every year, as do our rides on Streamline, and I could go on and on.
So Christian, like, what brought you to HRDC? Like, what was your...
I've been here a long time. I'm probably one of the top 5 in longevity here at HRDC, which is really hard to believe. I've been here 23 years. And when I started, I moved to the community from out of state, and I really wanted to be a part of a nonprofit, and I determined that HRDC was the best one, and I wanted to be a part of it. At that time, we had much less services to provide, and a smaller staff, and a smaller number of customers, but it was still making an impact then, as it is now.
Wow, and so what is your vision moving forward for HRDC?
You know, we have a lot coming up in the next few years. We are outgrowing our warming center, or we've outgrown our warming center. We are outgrowing our food bank. We're getting requests for additional routes for transportation. We're really focusing our efforts on addressing individuals who've been homeless in our community for a long time and how to transition them from that homeless state into permanent housing that they can sustain both financially and being able to maintain it. And I see that we're going to have a lot of changes in those areas. We're going to need some new facilities, and we're going to need some new programs just to meet the demand that we see every year with the growth in our population.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Kristen.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm here with Jeremy from HRDC. Jeremy, what do you do here?
I am the Youth Development Coordinator. Run 3 different programs. So there's a workforce program, the Shaping Foster Care and Dependence program that works directly with foster youth, and Blueprint, which is our homeless youth home here in town.
Oh, cool. So what is the mission of those programs?
The workforce program is designed to help young people get into employment within our community. So we work with different employers and set up what we call work experience. So it gets that person working in a field that they might have passion for. And then with that, we support their educational pursuits, whether that might be traditional four-year college or Job Corps or something like that. The Shaping Foster Care and Dependence Program is specifically for our foster youth. You have to be a foster youth to be eligible for the program. And we help build transitional living plans, provide support services. So really, we're just kind of a third-party access for foster youth that aren't part of the state or something else. So we're really there to advocate for their rights and needs. Blueprint, it was opened in 2015 in October to try to address homelessness that youths are facing in our community. And we have currently, we can house up to really about five youths would be max. And there's three beds in the home, a home manager that lives on site, but the whole program is really designed to build independence, so it's a transitional program. So we try to get them ready for what that next step's gonna be, so kind of walking with them out of homelessness to, again, whatever maybe their next chosen path might be.
Wow. So I'm just kind of wondering, you know, from all these services that you're telling me about for the youth in our community, it sounds like that there's a big need for those kind of services.
Yeah, definitely. For youth services, I think in general for our community, that only continues to grow. And so there's a need for multiple different services, not just maybe the three that we offer, but from a community, it's growing. From our perspective, like the homelessness piece is really hard to quantify. Even nationally, there's not a great data set or points of really how many homeless youth there are in our country. I think the government does its best to try to capture that, but we're looking to here in the near future to develop our own means to work with community partners to kind of capture really how many homeless youth are we talking about in our community or surrounding communities. Both in Park and Belgrade, for instance, Livingston and Belgrade, to figure out really what are we looking at so we can address the need properly. Because I think that's kind of that first piece is really assessing how many there are with thoughts of developing programs to support that need going forward.
So, and it just sounds like, you know, you guys aren't only concerned about so much meeting those needs, but also, you know, assessing them and seeing where the problem lies within that.
Yeah, yep. I think we are we're working towards as quickly as we can a continuum of care for homelessness. So it's not just addressing transitional living. It's not just addressing shelter care or street outreach. It's really trying to develop a system, and a continuum of how, what those next steps will be for wherever that homeless individual might enter that continuum.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jeremy, for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm here with Linda from HRDC. Linda, can you tell me a little bit about what you do here?
Certainly. I am the SERP spectator. So my job is basically resourcing folks. They come through the door, they stop at reception, and a decision is made whether or not they need to continue on. Visit with myself. We have them fill out some paperwork, and at that point then I can look it over and decide what our next step is with them. If they are homeless or facing eviction, we're going to work on that right away.
So you're the boots on the ground, first people that they see.
Yes, I am.
That must be pretty draining on you.
It can be some days. It depends on the number of folks who walk through the door and what the outcome is going to be.
And so what is your mission day to day that you want to fulfill here at HRDC?
That I listen attentively and carefully, and that I listen without judgment, so that I can do my best to make sure that people are helped in the manner that they need the assistance.
Wow, you must just have the biggest heart, because I mean, sitting here looking at you, that's what I feel from you right now. I know that a lot of people don't know about, you know, the personal stories about people who may come through here. Can you tell me a few of those?
Sure. Don't think I need to dig very deep, but we see some youth who come through the door that are struggling because their family has asked them to leave. So that is difficult. When you have some young 15, 16-year-old who's sleeping in a friend's car. And those are hard for me.
Yeah, because they're kids.
Right. We get some people that will seek shelter wherever they can find it. And it's not always easy for us as a whole, as an organization, to make sure that they have housing immediately. So they could be sleeping in a bathroom. They could be sleeping at Walmart on the bench outside. They could be sleeping in their vehicle. And those are the people that we really need to focus on, are those who are in the greatest need. We get senior citizens that come through the door that have been evicted, not knowing that they could reach out to us for services. And so that's really difficult when you have someone in their 70s who's sleeping in their car and just need to do what, we need to know, what do I do next? Who do I need to visit with? So this is where we all start coming together and reaching out to each other.
And trying to get the word out about what kind of services you guys actually have in the community that can help people.
Right, yeah. So we will give them a resource guide. We will reach out to some other agencies. We will send emails. We all work cohesively on making sure that someone comes through the door, we do the best that we can for that person, that individual, that family.
Wow. And, you know, I just kind of want to know, like, what is your mission moving forward, do you think, for HRDC? Like, what do you feel, like, what are your greatest needs that need to be met?
Our Give Big Fund is a tremendous asset. So having the ability to give a gas voucher, having the ability to possibly put someone in a motel room for a night, depending on their situation. So just that financial aspect of being able to give someone else a fighting chance.
And it just sounds like, you know, even small amounts of help. I mean, that $10 gas card that may not, you know, get someone super far, but it gets them to work, or it, you know, helps them run their car so it's warm, or, like, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, and our warming center is a tremendous asset to us as well. So when you're talking about trying to stay warm, warming center opens November 1st. So there's going to be, it's day center right now, but the warming center, when it opens November 1st, there's going to be people wanting to go in there because we're getting chilly at night now, and we need that, and it would be excellent to see if we could get a year-round, yeah, a year-round shelter.
And I'm just kind of wondering, Linda, what brought you here in the first place? Like, what kind of called to your heart to work at HRDC?
Knowing that I could help. Knowing that I'm in a community of helpers.
Wow.
And building relationships, that's kind of a key thing for me.
That sense of community, mm-hmm, and being able to rely on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, thank you, Linda. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much for sharing.
Of course.
Hi, this is Makili from BridgerCare, and I'm here with John from the Food Bank. John, can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so at the food bank, I'm the operations manager, so my job here is to just make sure everything's running smoothly. We distribute food out to folks in need here 5 days a week, all year long, and we see about 1,200 families every month that come in for emergency food assistance. And so my job, again, is to make sure that things are running smoothly, we're being served to the people who need it, utilizing the help of volunteers that help out in this process.
So John, tell me a little bit about your background working with food in the Gallatin Valley.
Yeah, for the last 7 years I've worked here at the Gallatin Valley Food Bank. Most of this time I've spent working as the food rescue coordinator, where we actually work with all the local businesses rescue food that would otherwise be tossed out for whatever reason, and we can share that with folks who are in need here. And it's primarily things like bakery items, dairy, produce, meat, and assorted groceries that are dented or maybe a little past or sell by date. And so from that program, we pick up more than 1 million pounds of food every year, just from all the business partners we have in the valley. So it's a huge percentage of the amount of food that we actually give to our clients. So it rounds out the nutrition that we can provide for folks. Rather than just all canned goods, we can also give fresh food as well.
That's really amazing. And I'm just trying to think about all the different locations I've seen around town. You know, the community food co-op, and then other larger grocery chains in town and stuff like that. Is there any other locations in town that have any of your guys' little drop box for the food bank?
Well, pretty much all of the grocery stores have donation barrels, but the actual the donations we get from these stores, it's coming right from their departments. So we're getting things, like I said, dairy, meat, produce, working directly with the store managers and the department managers to collect those foods. But we do have donation bins at all of the grocery stores.
Oh, that's really amazing. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, what brought you into the food bank? Like, what interested you about working here?
Well, I come from a background of conservation work. I was a wilderness ranger for about a decade in Alaska and throughout the Rockies prior to coming here. And after my daughter was born, I needed to find something that would perhaps give me a more of a stable situation in one place to be a good dad. And so this job came up right about the time I was going to have to return to Alaska. And I really like the mission of the food bank of helping those people in need with food insecurity, and just the whole concept of rescuing the food, keeping it out of the landfills, and giving it to people who need it. So it's been a really rewarding experience.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of wondering, how prevalent is food waste like here in the Gallatin Valley?
Well, certainly there's, we're basically a snapshot of a larger, massive food. So we're just one community within the entire country, the entire world, where all of this food is going into the dumpster, if not for places like the food bank. We're doing our best to work with the businesses that serving food, restaurants, grocery stores, gas stations, you name it, anything that sells food, we're trying to keep that food out of the landfill if it's still edible for people. And along those lines, there's stuff that we collect that doesn't meet our standards, and so we're working with local farmers to get that food to them instead of, to their animals instead of putting it in the landfill as well. So, in the end, we probably only throw out into the actual garbage about 3% or less of what we take in. So I think we've done a pretty good job here locally. And certainly, there's always room for improvement.
But it sounds like a great percentage goes back into our community and helps people out. And I'm just kind of wondering, what is your mission going forward with the food bank?
Yeah, so I just want to continue to expand our partnerships within the community, getting the word out about how many people we're helping and that there is a need here. And I know that we have lots of room for improvement still. Working with more businesses, just figuring out new ways to get food to people rather than having to go into the trash. So that's always that's one of my main motivations.
Which is a great cause. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Don. Thank you so much for your time. So Karen, what do you do here at the Gallatin Valley Food Bank?
I am a volunteer on Tuesdays, and pretty much I do whatever needs to be done. You never know from day to day what you're going to be doing. It really depends on how many volunteers there are. Of course, there's things that need to be done, like boxing people up. So if you're short of people, that's probably the first job. Stocking shelves, right, marking items to put on the shelf. Boy, it's fun because you never get bored. Stocking produce. You never know from day to day if you're going to have produce or have bread or have whatever. So the key is to, you know, sort of oversee, make sure that the shelves look full, make sure there's a welcoming environment for the people who come in. My thought is, I knew food insecurity as a kid, and I know how difficult it is for people to admit, I need help. And it's great. It's great to help these people.
Yeah, because food is a basic need that should be met.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's scary for kids.
Yeah, sort of like breathing in water.
Yes,
and people are so appreciative of it. It's great to see people come up, thank you, say, when I'm on my feet, I'm going to come here and volunteer too. And it's just now that I'm retired, it's so much easier to do it now than when you're working full time. And I always said, when I have some free time, I'd love to be part of this.
Well, I mean, I think that's an amazing thing that you took time to now, you know, make this a job and to make this a mission in your life.
Yes.
And, you know, you were kind of talking about food insecurity as a kid, so was that kind of, that was kind of what brought you here?
Yeah, I mean, you remember that, you know, and being in a community, especially like Bozeman, where there is such a wealth disparity between the haves and the have-nots. I've seen, just in the 20 years that I've lived here, a tremendous uptick in homelessness and hunger. People cannot live in this valley making under $15 an hour and affording an apartment. I know my husband volunteers quite a bit at the warming center and also building tiny homes, and he's gotten to know some of these. And these are hard-working people who just, they can't make it here.
Yeah.
So I see the need only as getting greater. And to be able to give a person a helping hand, a leg up, you know, maybe they'll get a better job. And the people that come in that are so excited that say, maybe I don't need to come here anymore, I just got a job. It's great.
Does that just give you the most wonderful feeling?
It does. It does. It really does, because they just want to share that victory with you.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, like you were talking about, when somebody gets a leg up, then they're going to want to come back here and help out and build our community.
Right. Right. It's just kind of paying back to the community that's helping them out.
Yeah.
And there are varying reasons for people being either homeless or unable to work. There's mental issues for some that... But still, they're part of our community, you know.
And do you think it's part of our responsibility to kind of help them?
I do. How do you kick anyone under the bus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great mentality to have, and I think I have that mentality, and I'm, you know, I can just see from, you know, you smiling and talking about these people that you have such a big heart for giving back. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, you know, moving forward, like, what kind of help do you think is needed within the Gallatin Valley, you know, within the food bank or other resources and stuff?
Right. Throughout all of HRDC.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of all the people who volunteer their time at Fork and Spoon, the community co-op, or the community cafe that feeds people who can't afford it, or for paying customers, if the general public goes there as well. There's the warming center. There's so many opportunities.
Yeah. And do you think that there's, you know, people need more awareness about what services are available to them here in the Gallatin Valley?
I think the Chronicle has done a great job recently of pointing out the needs as they apply to homelessness and job food insecurity. But yeah, I guess I knew where to go when I was ready to volunteer. I must have done some research, I guess.
Where there was some help needed, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I would just encourage anyone who has a few spare hours it's more rewarding, I think, for me than it is for the people I'm helping.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
It sounds like it's the greatest sense of, you know, pride that you take in your work to, you know, be able to see that smile on people's faces.
Yes.
When you're able to give them something that, you know, a lot of people might scoff at or, you know, shame them for.
Yeah, yes.
In a lot of cases.
Yes, and that's the thing. It's just to relate to them at their level. You know, talk to them about day-to-day things, recipes, so they don't feel like they're cheering.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, do you ever see the same people coming through here week to week? Yeah?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Do you have any personal stories about that?
Well, you get to know them, and you talk with them, and you ask how their wrist is doing, and,
how the family's doing.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I mean, some people are here because of injuries, too. There's an anonymous woman who is raising her two grandkids and couldn't work her job while her wrist healed, and I could tell it was difficult for her to come here because she had cared for herself her whole life and defended for herself. And people need to know that the community is there to help when they're down and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not that you don't have to, you know, brave things by yourself, but yeah. And I think as a country, we think we're very individualistic.
Exactly.
But we need to come together as a community, and I think that that's something that we do very well here in Bozeman.
We do. We have a great tribe here.
I think so. Well, thank you so much, Karen. This has been wonderful talking to you.
It's been nice getting to know you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm here with Bree at the food bank. Bree, can you tell me a little bit about what you do here?
Yeah, so I am the volunteer coordinator here at the food bank.
Oh, cool. So what does that mean? Like, what do you do?
So I manage our weekly volunteers, which is about 120 volunteers who come every week to volunteer their time and help us run the food bank. And then I also have special groups of volunteers that come to volunteer for a one-time project. So I see anywhere from 1 to 7 special groups in a week that I coordinate as well.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of people to coordinate in one week.
It is a lot of people. I go home and hibernate afterwards.
So I'm just kind of wondering, what brought you to work here at the food bank?
Yeah, so I started working as the community engagement programs coordinator at MSU in the Office of Student Engagement. And one of my tasks in that position was helping to coordinate the campus side of the Can They Grow food drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to know some of the food bank staff and really got to know what the food bank is all about and really, really liked it. I also have a little bit of a background in or interest in nonprofit administration. So this is a really great blend of those two interests and skills for me.
Yeah, definitely. So you worked, so you just worked on this project and then got to know these people and then, okay. So I'm just kind of wondering, like, what is your mission going forward, like working with the food bank?
So I am extremely passionate about feeding people. Anytime one of my friends is stressed out or I see someone having a bad day, like, the only way I know how to help is like, here, I made you dinner, or here, I made you breakfast. And so being here at the food bank, where we encounter lots of people who might be having one of the worst days of their life, it is my job to get them food and to make sure they have food on their table for their families. And so it is such a cool way to serve in the way that is most natural to me.
Wow. And I'm just, you know, I think like food is a very central part of my being as well. Mm-hmm. And so you're a good cook. That's what I'm hearing.
I try to be.
Yeah.
I like to think there should be a Food Network show with like pretty good home cooks. Like not professionals, but like pretty good. I could fit in there.
I think you do wonderful in there. Well, and I think that's such a common need, like, you know, to fulfill is feeding people. And I think that's such a wonderful thing, that when you see people in need, that that's something that you want to outstretch, and then there's food in your hand, and it's wonderfully delicious. And I think, you know, seeing that need here at the food bank and knowing that you can make someone's day that way is just, I don't know, like, not a lot of people see that.
Yeah. Well, and it really is such a basic need. Like, no one should have to choose between feeding their families or paying their rent that week or that month. I don't think that should be a decision that people should have to make. And so that is our role here, is to try and help ensure that that isn't a decision people have to make, that they know they can put food on the table for their family no matter what situation they're in.
And so when they get food on the table, do you feel like that helps them be able to do other things in their lives, that kind of builds them up?
Yeah, I think so. I know when I'm hungry, I can't think. Like, I have to stop what I'm doing. I need to eat a snack, and then I can continue.
Yeah.
And so a really cool partnership we have built at the main HRDC office is we now supply their brain stop pantry. That's what they call it. And it was just some discussion between me and another HRDC staff member of they're helping people find housing resources or employment resources, and they're asking these clients to sit and really work hard at something. And if you haven't eaten, that's even more difficult than it should have to be. And so we decided, like, hey, this is a problem. People are having a hard time thinking and focusing and getting this other work done because they're hungry. And so let's fix that. Let's make sure you have food there. And it's been so cool to see just in that small situation where they're able to work a lot better with their clients after getting a snack in them or a small meal, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that same thing happens at home. You're able to work better, you're able to perform better at school, all of those things when you're not hungry.
Well, and I think, you know, when you are hungry, like, it becomes this focal point of that's all you can think about. And it becomes this narrative in your head of, like, you know, controlling you. And, like, I know, like, you know, low blood sugar definitely affects me when I'm, like, you know, hangriness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, you know, what kind of need is there in the Gallatin Valley for, you know, the food bank?
Yeah, so it is no surprise to anyone that housing is expensive here, and I don't think housing is going to get less expensive anytime soon, and that goes for just overall cost of living as well. Here at the food bank, we serve about 60 households a day, so that equates to about 1,300 households every month that are coming to get a food box, get some sort of food assistance here. And we've seen that number kind of slowly inch up, and the more Bozeman grows, the more that need is going to continue growing as well.
Wow.
It's a lot of people.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of people, and it also seems like, you know, there's a choice between a roof over your head, as you've been saying, a roof over your head, and then food in your stomachs.
Yes.
And that's really hard because we live in a place where things can become cold, and then, you know, you get hungry, and there's not abundant food laying around on the ground and stuff, so.
Yeah, and so we can only do this work and help these people out with food because of our community. It blows my mind how many people walk in the door every single day bringing food to donate and to fill our shelves with. So we're really lucky that we were able to feed those 1,300 households a month without having to worry that our shelves might be empty tomorrow.
Because there's a part of our community that just...
A huge part of our community that really everyone is doing what they can. And sometimes that's 3 cans of food that they have left over, or sometimes that's buying cases and cases of food or donating money so that we can make food purchases. Everyone that we see is doing what they can, and I think that is such a beautiful thing.
And doing what you can sounds like it's enough. Like, sounds like it's enough for the community.
It really is. If we eliminated all of the people who bring in 1 to 10 cans, if we eliminated those donations, our shelves would not be full. That is such a critical part of keeping our food bank full. And I think sometimes people worry, like, oh, I'm sorry, it's not enough. And it's like, no, that's the point. Like, everyone needs to give their little bit for it to be enough.
Yeah, and even that little bit of excess that you might have is going to be someone's, you know, just enough for them.
Yeah, exactly. And those 3 cans of food that you brought in is 3 cans of variety that we get on our shelves. I tell people all the time to go to the store and buy the foods that they like eating and donate those things, and that is how we have 15 different soup options and just lots and lots of variety on our shelves is from someone's random three cans of food.
Yeah, that they love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They love, and I'm like, this is kind of weird, but...
Somebody likes it,
so that's really cool.
Well, that's wonderful, Bree. Well, thank you for sitting down with me and talking with me about all this.
Yeah, thanks for listening and wanting to hear our story.
Yeah. So I'm here with Nick at the Warming Center. Nick, can you tell me a little bit about what you do here?
Yeah, so in the summer, I help run the Day Center, which is a drop-in center for laundry, showers, a safe place for people to be during the day, and then also a place where they can connect up with other HIVC resources. And then the wintertime is a shelter that's open all night and from November 1st till March 31st. And it is basically a place where people can get out of the cold for the night and have a safe place to sleep.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that there is a need for that in our community.
There is a huge need, and I think a bigger need than maybe people see on a daily basis, but it's a huge and growing need.
And do you think that part of the reason that people don't see that need as much as it probably stands within Bozeman because of the services that, you know, are provided within our community?
I do. I think the community in Bozeman does a really good job of meeting those needs. And then there's probably a lot of other reasons why we don't see those needs, but it doesn't stick out as much as it does in a big city.
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing. And so besides those two services, you were talking about kind of connecting them with other HRDC services. So what are the most common services that you link people up with?
The most common would be a place like Fork and Spoon, I would think, because it's a daily service that meets a very basic need, eating, and it's open 6 days a week. And then after that would be just hooking people up with our housing department so they could start the housing process to finding sustainable long-term housing solutions.
Yeah, and it just sounds like, you know, the entire process is just meant to kind of lift people up and hopefully creates a substantial foundation that they can build from.
Yeah, that's how I view it, and the Day Center I view is giving people the space and time to kind of find some, I guess, stability in their day-to-day life, and then also just, I guess, a place where people could hang out and be with each other and start to form a community and build solidarity throughout the community.
Yeah, and it kind of sounds like it's its own little micro community here within the greater Bozeman community.
It is for sure. It is its own micro community, and it's been interesting to watch what at first you view as kind of groups within the micro community, but then you start to see the larger group that comes here, and it's really heartwarming. I wish more people in town could see it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are the types of people that come here?
If you could think of a type of person, they're the type of person that could come here, whether that's whatever, if it's your stereotype of what homelessness looks like, or, I mean, really, if you could think of it, those people come here. I know, you know, it's hard for me after being here all summer and then around the Warming Center, the Day Center, I guess, for 3 years now, about to narrow it down to what does that person look like, because it looks like society.
Yeah, and you can't pigeonhole that.
No, you can't. It is, yeah, it's just everyone who comes here is a member of our community and looks like any other member of our community.
Yeah, and I think that it's, but have you ever had people afraid to use your services because they're afraid of, you know, people thinking differently of them?
Yeah, I think people run into, they're afraid to ask for help. They're maybe afraid of what it means if they have to ask for help. And I try to set an atmosphere where I don't view this as charity. I view it as, I guess, basic human solidarity, as we're all people, we all live here, and we should all look out for each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's people that I think maybe are intimidated by the shelter during the winter because, for whatever reason, the shelter initially can be an intimidating environment to walk into, but I think that pretty quickly, between the staff and the people at the shelter, that we make it, people realize very quickly that it's not as intimidating as you think it is. But
And you think that people kind of have that image in their head before they even come in?
I do. I think people have heard of stories of shelters in different cities. You know, Bozeman is not New York, Chicago, or LA. It's Bozeman, so even at a shelter in Bozeman, it's still Bozeman.
Yeah.
So, and it, you know, it's still a really cool place and fairly laid back. And I think people come here with an idea of what a shelter looks like, and then they realize that we are a unique shelter.
Which is Bozeman for you.
Yeah, it's Bozeman, and yeah. We intentionally make it a welcoming place. And,
yeah. Well, no, and I mean, walking in here today, it's very, very welcoming, and it just seems, yeah, like a home.
It is a home, yeah. Yeah. I'm very lucky to work here, that I get to work someplace that doesn't feel like a job at all.
And I'm just kind of wondering, like, what brought you here?
I was a stay-at-home dad, and I volunteered for 2 years, and then someone brought up being on staff, and then that, I guess, kind of just kept going from a contract position for the winter for the shelter into a contract position for the summer for the day center, and now I am a regular year-round staff, so I guess volunteering got out of hand really quickly. Yeah, I got a job, which is amazing, and I will forever be grateful for, but I love the shelter, and I love the day center, and I view the people I meet here as friends and family, so.
Yeah, which I think is an amazing approach to a job, to be taking care of your family.
I am lucky. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it started out as something that was a passion for you, and then developed into something that was, you know.
Yeah, people ask me why I volunteered here. I can't remember, and I can never give a good answer. It's just something I felt like that would be good to do, and it has always felt like the right thing. I really do believe in building solidarity throughout our community, and we have to include everyone.
Yeah, even people that sometimes we would like to think aren't part of our community.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'm trying to bust through those stereotypes. The people who come here are as valuable members of our community as anyone else in our community.
Yeah, and I was at the food bank, and was talking to Bree, and she was just kind of talking about how, you know, we kind of lift each other up at different points, and we give back to our community and to each mm-hmm. other. And do you think that people here do that as well?
For sure, and I see it in the small way of just, as I will never ask anyone here to help me with cleaning or laundry or any of the other many tasks, but then at some point, most people at some point will contribute in some small way, and I hope that at least mentally maybe carries out the doors here. But no, people are constantly lifting me up when they know I'm having a hard time, and then also lifting me up when they see me folding an obscene amount of towels. I fold towels. And yeah, we lift each other up here, for sure.
That's amazing. That's quite amazing.
It is.
And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, within the Gallatin Valley, like, we're having this increase of population, this boom of population.
Yes.
Is that kind of, you know, related to people not having housing, not being able to have housing?
I don't want to get, you know, speak of things I don't study, such as, but yeah, I to me it's common sense. As more people move here and as demographics change, the housing situation in Bozeman has changed, and I've been affected by that in some extent. I think a lot of people in Bozeman, and that it affects everyone from the financial top of our community to the financial bottom of our community. And it is the nature of a boom town.
Yeah. Which is kind of unfortunate that, you know, there's such, you know, disparity and wealth and in Bozeman, even though it's a wonderful place. I mean, there is such disparity between...
There is massive disparity in this town, and it's growing. It's something that we have to take a very hard and honest look at as a community at some point. And I would say now would be a good time, but at some point we're going to have to do it. Yeah.
Some point it's going to smack us in the face.
It is, yeah. And it smacks me in the face on a daily basis, and I would like the rest of the community to see what I see, or at least understand what I see and realize that it's there and we can't hide from it.
Yeah, and you can have volunteers come in here and mm-hmm. see that as well, can't you?
Yep, and that's the best way to get a glimpse of the full spectrum of Bozeman is come here and volunteer and be part of the family and volunteer with an open mind, with no preconceptions of what the community looks like.
And then you just get a better picture of, you know,
you do, yeah.
our community as a whole.
Yeah, you do. And then you, as you drive around Bozeman, you start to recognize faces and put a story, a good story to people, and that's amazing. It's people that we usually drive by and, you know, at best don't see or at worst have stereotypes about. And you come here and you volunteer and you'll see these people and realize that they're just people like all of us.
Yeah, which is quite a wonderful thing.
It's amazing.
It's the one thing that bonds us all together.
Yeah. We are all people. That's how I approach working here, is that we are all people and deserve very basic things.
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, going forward, like, what are the biggest needs, you know, here in Bozeman?
At the top of my list, I would put mental health services at the top of my list, and I think a lot of agencies in Bozeman see the results of the lack of a comprehensive mental health support network.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, figuring out what housing looks like in Bozeman for the future and figuring out how we can ensure that everyone has a safe place to sleep at night.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, basic things that we, you know, as able-bodied people take for granted.
Yes.
Or, you know, just privileged people who have always had homes and roofs over their heads and haven't had to think about where they're going to sleep.
And, you know, right now housing is viewed as a privilege sometimes, but we need to view it as a basic human right.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Well, thank you so much, Nick, for sitting down and talking to me.
Thank you for asking the questions.
The Community Action League is a collaborative effort of local organizations and nonprofits. Our goal is to raise awareness of issues that impact people in Gallatin County and discuss the organizations that listeners can engage with that are relevant to those topics. On our show, we discuss the intersectionality or connections between topics at the local, national, and global levels. We encourage cooperation and community organization, information sharing, and created a connected service network to best serve and educate individuals in our community and beyond. Tune in to learn more about topics like consent, housing, transportation, human rights, addiction, and more. Do you have a topic you would like to hear about or comment about our show? Contact us at communityactionleague@gmail.com to request a topic or share your thoughts.